This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Tim and Johnny back on Tuesday. I love that, educated educators talking education. A little alliteration or something like that we learned in what grade, Johnny? When was your first introduction to poetry and alliteration?
Oh, man, I can't even remember. I mean, probably earlier than I remember. I definitely remember it in middle school. If I really dug deep, I'm sure the teachers introduced it much before. I'm associating it with long-term memory. But, you know, I love an alliteration. I love, in particular, three E's.
Yeah.
E-cubed. All day, my man. It's good to be back on the air with you and to see your smiling face for folks who are on the video. But to hear the voice of a little bit of hope in some times where the sun is shining.
Speaking of hope, though, too, I want to recommend, too, that anybody, we talked about this. We did a guest podcast with the Educators Amplified, Joanna and Haley. It's on the Busted Pencils Facebook page. Check it out. The collaboration, Busted Pencils meets Educators Amplified. And Johnny, what you said there, you know, listening to it back, and I was just like, what incredibly powerful, you know, it was us, but you know, we're pretty critical of ourselves when we need to be. The fact, though, that if you listen to that podcast, it really comes through with a hopeful message at the end. And so in these moments, as we talk about what seems to sometimes be a never-ending list of, my God, what's next? And we frame that in the show, but we come across, though, at the end with going, there's hope. And I would love for anybody out there to check out the Educators Amplified podcast. You can actually look that up on your podcast searcher, Educators Amplified. Check out the last session that they did. It was a Busted Pencils Educators Amplified collaboration. Love it. And you know what would even be cool? If people put some comments on the Educators Amplified podcast site so that we could actually hear or read the way people are interpreting and hearing that message of educated educators talking education times four. And that's how many of us are talking. Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, man. Well, it's great. And, you know, and to bring it back around full circle, is that it's good to be in contact with you. It's good to be on the air. It's good to hear your voice. And it's always great to hear our callers.
Yeah.
Call in who for the last few weeks. I mean, for the past couple of years, I've been able to do this with you. It's been a highlight of things is to have, you know, listeners out there who call in and share not only their perspective, but sort of testimonial of the fact that there are a lot of really great folks out there in education asking deep questions about what can be done differently from across the political spectrum.
Oh, across
and
the
that's
political
a really
spectrum.
Cool thing, man, is that it's all hands on deck. What can we do differently? And, you know, school's out for summer, most places. So, you know, Alice Cooper is a timeless classic, you know, and so school's out for summer. Last week, Tim, you asked about, you know, what are we all thinking about as teachers? And that's also something covered in that special podcast that we did with the Educators Amplified. But, you know, what are we thinking about as teachers? Most teachers, unless they go year round, most teachers around the country are in that moment now where we're like, whew, school's out. What are we going to do? Because it comes back quicker than we know it. You know, it's a recursive cycle. We are already looking toward fall. And so we're taking a deep breath and doing inventory right now.
Take
the plane
a deep
has
breath.
Landed.
Yeah.
The blocks are under the wheels. Listeners, give us a call. We're going to talk
give us
about
a call.
Tonight. But educated educators talking education and really checking in. What is the pulse, right? The heartbeat of teachers right now in this country in particular. What's happening?
Well, and if you got that, call us 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We are always ready to go on what you are thinking about at the moment. But Johnny, you know, bring it back to reality though. Ooh, deep breath. Summer is here. However, you know, the issues facing teachers, you know, the last episode, we had to take a week off because I was without power last week, but prior to that, you know, again, really kind of having the show talking about the school shooting episode in Uvalde, Texas, and the tragedy there and all the issues. And our last show, we talked about, well, what about school resource officers? You know, would that be a help to stop shooting? And, you know, we did a really good, and we said we had great callers that show. And if you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, school resource officers. And, you know, we were like, would that help? Well, it took 1 week. And no, I guess nobody in the Ohio policymaking circles had any attachment to listening to our show 2 weeks ago, because the week after, Ohio has made it, well, forget about school resource officers. Let's give the teachers guns. You know, because they're the front line of defense against these horrible mass shooters. Why not give teachers a gun? And so in Ohio, quote from the Columbus Dispatch, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signs law to arm teachers with 24 hours of training. And I'm going to quote from the article, and this is also from Governor DeWine. He says, quote, in life, we make choices and we don't always know what the outcome is going to be. What this legislature has done, what I've done by signing it, is giving schools an option based on their particular circumstances to make the best decision they can make with the best information they have. That's all any decision maker can do, end quote. I'm not sure I sense in those words a real connection and a conviction that this was the right decision, because in that I hear a lot of going, you know, we make decisions and sometimes they're not right and we'll just have to wait this one out and see. I don't know. Is it the right decision? 844-967-2789. The heck with school resource officers. The heck with this. We need good guys with guns. And as we've been talking about, good guys, good gals, good people, there are your teachers. They are out there. Give them a gun, man. Load them up, lock and loaded. Have them put it in that drawer where they put all those nasty toys that come out of kids' mouths. You reach in that, you know, I had a junk drawer when I was a teacher. You know, when I was a second grade teacher, particularly, you know, you'd say, okay, bring me up those, you know, those Dracula fangs and put them in the, you know, bring up that fidget spinner, bring it up here, put it down, you know, and I'd have a whole desk full of just, you know, nasty things. I guess that's where I would have to put my gun if I was a teacher with the gun, you know, that way. I don't know, you know, what could go wrong with a teacher having a loaded gun in a classroom? I mean, Johnny Lupinacci, come on. How will we know if we don't know? I mean, we got to see if this is the right decision. Johnny, go for it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we can do jokes on it, and it's really not a joking matter. I'm not calling you out. I got jokes on it too. I was thinking about how frequently as a teacher, it was hard enough to, in a metaphorical way, be a coach and not a cop. And to really think about my role as an educator and the teachers I teach, really working on a craft that is very different than the kind of punitive structuring that, you know, bringing a gun into things and putting that added responsibility on an educator, it just really shifts the whole energy and identity around what it means to be an educator. It is more, what does it mean to be an officer? Not to blur the lines into police officer, but to be an officer in a learning environment as opposed to a teacher in a learning environment. And I think we still want teachers around our children. And Tim, you know, I'll stay consistent with my perspective and kind of dig in, and I'm stubborn. You know, I'm stubborn. I'm open.
Here we go. Here we go.
But I'm stubborn about this one. You know, we ought to be asking the question why we have school shootings in the first place, and let's cut it off at the source. You know, people don't go into these kinds of mass school shootings with hunting rifles. People don't go, you know, there's, I don't have the facts exact, but there's always sort of a possibility or a threat of violence in school spaces. Mm-hmm. The kind of mass school shootings that we are responding to and having in this conversation and are the sort of gaslighting impetus of this armed teachers, really, really the source of the issue is access to the kind of weaponry, right? And the kind of copycat sickness, really. It is an illness and a sickness to be thinking around shaping one's identity and having an emotional reaction that is associated with that kind of attention and that kind of destruction. And so we see that we have some copycat situations in this country. We have easy, relatively easy access to kind of the weaponry to commit these mass shootings. And instead of really, really focusing on, you know, stopping it at the point of access, we're just layering up. I mean, it's just piling doo-doo on top of a really bad situation. And it's like the smell, the stink's not going away. The condition's not changing. Well, you're piling doo-doo on top of it. Right.
Tony, come on, though. Wait a minute. I mean, you know, no access to guns. Okay. Here's the.
I didn't say no access to
guns. Okay. All right. Well,
stronger, like hard, like more difficult access to the kind of weaponry consistently associated with these mass shootings.
But what, you know, so here it is. And just for anybody who's listening, I will jump on the other side of this just to have fun. But I support Johnny, and I'm fully with him. Number's 844-967-2789. You know, though, you said stopping the shooting. And the argument here, you know, it was the same with the school resource officer. We have a better chance of stopping that school shooter when we have an armed presence in those schools, in these classrooms, when the shooter emerges. And so if that's the truth, then if teachers, the first line people who are encountering the mass copycat school shooters who come into their classroom, isn't then the idea that why not give the teachers that first line of defense the ability to be that good person that they are to take down this mass shooter? Because you know what? Here they are. They're standing in the classroom. You know, this is the topic. It's 844-967-2789. We're coming up on our first break here, but if you want to jump in and give us a call, pull, you know, SROs, no way, man. We have teachers with guns. Let's make sure that we give all of our teachers with guns. When we get back, though, what does law enforcement think about this idea? Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Give us a call right after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Banned? Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny. We are back. Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Hey, forget about the school resource officer. Let's just give the teachers guns. New idea. Well, actually not a new idea, but getting some legs in the state of Ohio, because the governor has signed a bill that has reduced the training required to have a gun, which some people are going, wait a minute, you already could legally carry a gun as a teacher in Ohio? Yes, you could. You just had a really big benchmark of about 700 hours of training before you can do that. Now, 24 hours of training and you are carrying a gun. Badass teachers, check out their Facebook page. First comment from the badass teachers: I am a former Marine and a law enforcement officer and a teacher for the last 20 years. This is the most moronic thing I've ever heard about. Okay, there's one little comment. Another badass teacher: I would withdraw my child. And hey, you gotta love this one: can't trust teachers to teach the right thing. As we said, a whole lot of crazy going on, banning Truth, banning Howard Zinn. But hey, you know what, though? Give them a gun, because that'll definitely ramp things up. L.A. Tom, we love you when you call. We know you're out there. You got something to say. L.A. Tom, what's happening?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people are the government, ultimately. And second, the Republican Party is the pro-death party, and they show it every single day. I think it's kind of funny, Tim, you were trying to actually go on to the opposite side of this argument, but I don't think your brain was even allowing you to, because it's such a stupid, such a stupid thing to do by giving teachers guns. Honestly, I don't even know where these people are coming from. And now you got our public, we the people, tax dollars are now going to be allowed to go to private parochial schools when the whole idea was the sacrifice for your child was to send them to a private religious school. Now it's we have to actually take our tax dollars, which the private schools don't even pay for taxes, and now we can use those dollars to go towards the private schools too. This country is just taking our public education and just destroying it every single day, whether it has to do with shootings in school, whether it has to do with this whole, you know, private-public thing. I'm just so unbelievably scared for the future.
I wonder, though, if what your comment, Tom, what you said, though, made me think, is this also the potential, and hear me out here, let's propose this, let's put this out there. We know that, 99% of teachers and everybody is going to go, what, this is stupid, we're not going to do this. And yet this will be turned into, look, here it is, those public schools, they don't want to do what's best for kids. Here they are again. And going to your point, you know what? Let's funnel the money away from public schools to other places so that at least, you know, we can have people who care about our kids. You know, is this just another setting up public schools to, quote, look bad, even though we're making a right decision and teachers and saying, look, us carrying guns, not a good idea. But as soon as we say not a good idea, will that be turned into you teachers don't care about kids?
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't. I come from a, you know, all public education, you know, teachers, you know, my brothers and sisters, my dad, everyone was a teacher in Wisconsin. And it's just like, I don't know if it's going to take a mass exodus or if that's what the right wing wants. But a max exodus of teachers leaving the field, that's going to wake people up, or what the hell it's going to take, what it's going to, quote unquote, trigger, you know, to get people to wake up. Because I'll tell you what, our public education system is really being destroyed every day in front of our eyes. And I don't really see a lot of people doing a lot except for, you know, yelling about the fact that, you know, some person is LGBTQ friendly or, you know, something like that. I just don't get why it is that the people that are common sense people are not standing up and shouting about even this idea of arming teachers. Are you freaking crazy? I mean, this is like the most, I can't even imagine some of the teachers that I had.
I want to come back to that whole thing about going like, let's talk about some of the teachers who maybe shouldn't have guns ever. Whole different point. Tom, love your call. Appreciate it. We always love you calling in. We got a person that we like to, you know, give an opportunity to possibly make a point with us. CJ, you are on Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Doc. CJ, what's happening?
Hey there, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's a wonderful decision. You're going to have people fighting to take their tax dollars and go to a school that actually performs and teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And wait, CJ. No, we're talking about you're happy that would be enhanced by gun carrying teachers too? Is that what you're calling in support of?
Well, if they take the right course and have knowledge and they believe they could perform, but I do believe in securing the schools.
Well, I just want to make sure, because, you know, the idea here then is, CJ, is that what you're advocating then is for you know, a potential person you don't know. And God knows teachers, you know, we've heard from people on certain issues calling teachers groomers. Do you really want to give groomers a gun? I mean, are you really? I mean, because I know you've got a real fear and hatred of teachers to already start the argument with. I'm not sure why you're advocating giving them guns when you have such an anger towards teachers and schooling.
Who's got an anger towards teachers?
Well, yeah, I mean, when we talk to you quite frequently, it's just nothing about anything going well. Kids aren't reading, kids aren't learning. It must be the teacher's fault. And I just, you know, well, if teachers in schools are that bad, I want to understand why you're then saying they would be better by having guns. That's the question, though, CJ. If you can take that, if you can take that question and go back in, dig a little deep, come back and go, hey, Tim, Johnny, here's why crappy schools with crappy teachers would be better with guns. We would love to hear that discussion because that would be a great point. CJ, love your call. Call us any other time you want, but please do a little research. 844-967-2789. Sorry, LA Tom, but we had to take that call. You know, it's out there. Johnny Lupinacci, when we get back, though, I want to talk about what law enforcement thinks. And Tom really hits on a great point. Do we really want teachers with guns? More Busted Pencils after the break. That riff, anybody who's been out for summer school, school's out for summer, Alice Cooper, the first awesome connection there. Check out at the end of our show, though, too, we've got the awesome Mighty Seven Dust doing a cover of School's Out for Summer, too. So great song dealing with schools and putting us right there in the context. Johnny Lupinacci, you know, Tom, CJ, thanks for the calls. We always appreciate it. If you want to jump in, 844-967-2789. Arming teachers used to take 700 hours in Ohio. It's now going to be reduced down to 24 hours because we need good people with guns quickly. Johnny, you thought you heard some commonality in CJ and Tom.
Well, sure, man. I mean, I like when all callers, no matter what they're calling in to say, called share, because if we don't have real open conversations about the mess that our school systems are in with both LaTom, that's my favorite dude over on the West Coast, is that LaTom who calls us, and then CJ even, you know, when folks call in and they share a commonality in that things aren't going well in schools, right? And then CJ really brought up an important point, and you know, and I think both LaTom and CJ are coming at this from different perspectives, but they have a commonality. Schools ought to be secure, safe places for children to grow and learn.
Mm.
Right? So
that's the common agreement
I mean, I hear them both okay, with a lot of passion and both with different perspectives on that, but a commonality which brings us together, especially on a format like this. Tim, right, is we are here chopping it up, right? We're in the funk and the stank of public education. That's the beauty, the glory, right, and all the ugly. And so there's a whole lot there. And I think both of these fellows who called in hit a common accord, right? And it's a discord, but it's a common accord. And it's that, you know, we ought to have safe, secure places for young people, no matter who they are, no matter where they're at in this country, to have the kind of education that we would dream of for every single kid, for our own kids, for all the kids we love, and we extend that out to all children. And so when we get into that, you know, then we start saying about, okay, now how do we have a conversation about secure, safe places to learn when they're clearly not that, right? Mm.
How? The old how question. Okay, Johnny Lupinacci, how? I mean, you... arming teachers would make the classroom safe and secure. I'll use your words, secure. Come on.
Well, oh, you want me to solve the problem?
Well, so no, I said, I'm saying, you know,
like, because I'm the vampire slayer here.
No, I
feel you. Here's what I'll say. From the perspective I'm at, I think we need to try some things that, you know, that have worked in the past. And you know, I'm stubborn, so I don't want to sound like a broken record. If we're really specifically talking about school shootings, mm-hmm. and we're really not using mental health as an escape, you know, conversation mm-hmm. in this, but really, you know, we really start to value the emotional development as well as sort of, you know, the content learning in schools. And I know a lot of states are doing this, SEL curriculums, and thinking about, you know, that's not new, but really mm-hmm. thinking about the whole development of young people, right? And we really dig into what is the lived experiences of diverse young people in our communities. And we start to center our schools around children's rights and around that priority, children having a safe environment to learn in. Now we back up. Whose responsibility is it?
Mm.
It is in part the responsibility of the teacher, but it is not like, it is not the pilot's responsibility to build the airport and create airline regulations that make it safe to fly. Mm-hmm. It is the pilot's responsibility to show up and safely fly people from point A to point B. And I'm sure I'm oversimplifying it. There's more, but they have to rely on that. There are government regulations, that there are standards in the industry. There are all kinds of hands on deck to ensure quality. And this is what I come to when we talk about children's safety. It is in part the responsibility of teachers. Yes. But it is in every way our responsibility. This is where, you know, L.A. Tom, I like to tease on it and give him that pronoun, that fancy pronoun, La Tom. But our brother in L.A. Tom, you know, he's saying, you know, we the people. And I couldn't emphasize that more. You know, it is our responsibility and our government's responsibility. And we are the government. So we're together in this to put a priority on the kind of policies that make it, if not impossible, highly, highly improbable that things like mass shootings can take place. Things like school-to-prison pipelines and nexus can take place, right? That the kinds of things we know are happening to make schools unsafe. So like a person who's frustrating teachers and adults in their community would get slammed to the ground, right? We see this every so often, too often in videos that leak from schools, right? Where children are hurt and harmed. In particular, children who have diverse abilities and who are different cultures, right? This is constantly happening to particular groups of children in our schools. And so when we start to look at what would change that, right? Certainly teachers have a role in it. But we the people, come back to the time, we the people have a role in it because we are the government, right? And the government has a say, has to have policies in place that ensure that all of our schools, anywhere a child is, it could be a community center, it could be a private school, I don't care, group them all together. If you got kids in a space, then there's some regulation. Just like I can't fly an airplane out of my backyard, even if I have a giant backyard, right? That airspace is somewhat regulated. And I know that this draws a question, which makes it complicated, where people say, but that's infringing on my freedoms and my rights. And I'm here to say, absolutely.
Absolutely.
There are some things we don't get to have individual say on what we want with. And one of them is spaces where our children convene.
Love it. Learning, securing, safety. Johnny Lupinacci, the mental health issue, though, too, really. I mean, I you know, thanks for preaching. Thanks for giving us the truth on that, Johnny, because that's what we really love. As Evan put in our chat box there, that was fire. That truly was fire. And I want to put that out to make not put out that fire, actually keep that fire going. And if you want to join the fire, 844-967-2789, you know, we're just doing it here. We're talking it, you know, breaking it up, gnawing on it, looking at it, taking it apart and making some decisions because secure, healthy, safe learning environments. How do we get there? It's not school resource officers. It's not teachers with guns. And, you know, it said on the break, Johnny and I kind of talked about this. Yeah, we'll put it this way. Look, introducing guns with teachers in an already really stressed place, not the thing we want to do. Okay. And as from the badass teachers page, as the Marine said, Johnny, and in fact, you felt that that comment was right on, right? You know, if we've got a Marine out there who was in law enforcement, did a tour and has been teaching and saying, look, don't do it. Come on, let's not do this. Mm-hmm. It's just something, you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. But if we want to talk about really, really saying, how do we stop mass shootings, right? Mass shootings, then I see Evan's got his hand up.
Yeah, yeah. No, just really quickly here. You had mentioned a Navy SEAL, which brought to memory a Navy SEAL that I heard speaking, talking about how weapons are handled on base. So here you have a Navy SEAL. You know, a career military man, possibly decades in the service, you know, handling weapons, getting recertified it's more than every year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, stringent regulation. And when you're walking around on that base, if you own a firearm, do you just get to have that weapon with you? And the answer is no.
No, you do not have that right.
They give you a receipt and they put it in a safe place. You know, you got to check it out.
You know, and I think about that, Evan. You put this out there, regulations. And again, I'll take a little U-turn here, too, because I've been thinking about this one. I saw memes are great. You know, sometimes they're oversimplified. However, there are times where they actually make a lot of sense. And as a hunter, an outdoorsman, of which I am and have been my entire life, I saw this one out there. And it really made me think. I'm only allowed to shoot at a duck 3 times. With regulated ammunition, with a certain toxicity, well, actually, no lead is even allowed out in the field to hunt, although lead being the most lethal killing duck type of shot that's out there. You can't do that. And I can only have 3 shots. In fact, most of the time growing up hunting, regularly being stopped by the game warden, not because I was an idiot. Well, maybe I was an idiot, but that's not why I was stopped, because they regularly would check my gun to make sure that, quote, if they could put more than 3 shells into my shotgun, I was in violation. And because I was in violation, I would lose my hunting rights for that year. Why is it that American sportsmen who to shoot guns in the sporting adventure of hunting and things like that, we live with regulations out the wazoo? In fact, I think most of us appreciate the regulations there. However, this whole idea of teachers, you know, and school shootings is like the heck with regulations. Magazines with 100 shots capacity, that's what we need. But when you're duck hunting, you only get 3 shots. Johnny, you know, a little bit of an aside, a little bit of crazy thing there. 844-967-2789. And, you know, all right, L.A. Tom. La Tom, we know you're still sitting out there, so we're going to go. Okay, look, 3 minutes to go. Tom, jump on. 1 more minute. You're on.
All right, guys. All I'm going to say is this. If you're going to put me in names with CJ, I want to make sure that you have the differences between the two. Or let me go one-on-one with CJ on a call, because I'll tell you what. I am about a learning place, and he sounds like he's more invested in a military type of camp of some sort where, you know, kids are basically peeing themselves because of the fact that the teacher's got a gun. These are two different, you know, philosophies in terms of, I believe in a foundation. I believe in, you know, read the 3 Little Pigs, for God's sakes. He's constantly calling up this radio show, whether it's on Earl or whatever, and talking about how bad education is and how bad all this stuff is. What the hell is he doing about it? What the hell is he going and reading to, like my father did, reading to people in prisons and trying to teach them how to read? Is he going and volunteering his time to actually help the problem rather than, you know, creating more of a problem with teachers having guns? I mean, this is just ridiculous. And he, CJ in particular, I mean, all he's got to do is just, you know, he's the victim of all victims. He's every week he's just got to talk about how bad everything is. And now he doesn't do anything to bring a solution or a solution to the problem.
And Tom, I would just say, we were doing our best to talk about, in fact, your point more precisely about this, the learning environment. And I know, that, and that we weren't really lumping you, but I think about it, and Tom, we actually too, we really do appreciate you listening out there in but LA and calling us, but go ahead. Yeah.
I do have some commonality with him that I could actually discuss. I mean, the thing is, I'm guessing the guy doesn't make over $100,000 a year. And I know people don't like it when you ask people what they make or whatever, but I feel like you have to have that in order to know exactly where it is that they're voting against their best interest. Because there's so many people out there that are voting against their best interest and are not doing what is good for them, but is in this cult of some sort where, they don't understand what it is we're trying to do. We're just trying to build a foundation so therefore kids can learn and we can have a nice, society. I mean, why? Sin breeds sin. Violence breeds violence. Bring guns into the schools. That's only going to breed more violence. So
that is, and that's it. More violence, more violence. Put the weapons in there in the classrooms, and we're going to be looking at more violence. L.A. Tom, thanks again for the call. Oh, I don't know. We'll have to think about this one over the break. Johnny, CJ's back there. We'll think about it. I don't know. It's one of these things. I don't want to have a discussion between just L.A. Tom and CJ. The issue, though, guns, 844-967-2789. And I want to get at this mental health. What would it mean to really, really stop mass shootings? Busted Pencils, more after the break. Hey.
What if I'm writing you a wrong? What
hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
What if I figured out that I did not belong?
Everybody belongs on Busted Pencils. Thank you, Tim from Rise Against. We always appreciate you yelling and singing for us. L.A. Tom, we gave L.A. Tom a chance to clarify. Johnny really laid out, we've had two callers this show, L.A. Tom, CJ. I was really hard on CJ, and I'm okay with that. But Johnny pointed out a commonality there. The fact that they were both talking about that we need to do something to make our schools better. CJ's back on the line and would like an opportunity to make his case. So CJ, safe and secure schools, we think you were talking about that. And Johnny Lupinacci, and I don't disagree with safe and secure schools. Go for it, man.
Well, again, thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Sure.
And I guess I recall an incident, I'm not sure how long ago it was, 10 years ago, there were police officers in the Madison schools, and the police loved it. They started to create a relationship with kids. It wasn't all about being hardcore. It was actually encouraging, and kids were respectful for the most part, and it was a secure issue. Why was it taken out of the schools? For a political statement, anti-police, anti-authority, and that police are racist. And that is not fair. And I tell you what, it's ruined that for kids because, sure, maybe there's that bad cop was prosecuted, and he'll never see the light of day again, and he shouldn't. But the mere fact of demonizing and defund the police and all that stuff is coming back to haunt communities everywhere in this country. And the disrespect, the lack of how a traffic stop turns into someone not following directions of a police officer and ends up getting shot is a bad thing. I don't care. Are people pulled over, and hopefully not for that reason anymore. And there should be more authority over good and bad cops.
But you're right. CJ, I want to stop you for a second, not because I'm going to, as Johnny said, body slam. But I think, when you're talking about this, the issue, and we talked about this maybe a few weeks ago, the point that I'm hearing you make about the potential of creating relationships between school children and police, And, you know, there's a discussion point there about saying, you know, does that police officer then create a connection with the students that carries over into the community? Johnny, what do you think about CJ's point there?
Yeah, I'll go to CJ's first point. CJ, thanks for calling back and sticking with us and being part of this conversation, because, you know, this is where we get to practice democracy. We get to have multiple perspectives on a shared interest, and that's the education of all of our children, even if they're not our own specific children. They are the future of this country. And so coming together on those diverse perspectives are of utmost importance, and that we can disagree, and that helps us get to some form of a decision around things down the road. And so I'll go to CJ's first part, and I have seen this work in places, and it's hard for me because I've also seen it not working, and we can't fault efforts of communities that really start to look at what are the kinds of roles that, whatever we want to call them, SROs or just authorities in partnership with schools or the police, in what, it's not my area of expertise, but I want to say I've witnessed it working really well in some places. And it's that idea of like restorative justice, and really what I think CJ was saying, really reframing the entire kind of relationship. Mm. It's acknowledging that there's fractures in it. It's acknowledging that there's some real difficult histories, but how do we work together as a community in different roles to ensure safety of one another? And I think that's possible. On the flip side, and where CJ went and we sort of part ways, but I think it helps us get to a dialogue, a discussion where it isn't just the same old, and so I thank you, CJ, for calling it, is that I think in places where we make assumptions about good cops and bad cops, where we're in a difficult area of where policing works and where it doesn't, and it's long history, and he brought it up, so I'm going to go there. It's long history in just the statistics alone, but also in the practices of police force being a military of white supremacy. And I know that's problematic for people to hear, but I'm just going to spit facts, right? In this country, it is. Does that mean we can't heal and have it be something different? I won't say that. I think there's possibilities there, but we don't want to erase it, right? And CJ talked on that. All cops are not bad, but more often than not, the situation is much worse for certain people when the police are involved, and those certain people matter to us in education. And so we're at a moment, man.
We're at a moment, Johnny. And I just think though, too, I mean, what we're talking about here, you know, we've heard this, and I think the discussion that CJ brings up about, and as you said, you've seen it work occasionally, you know, this idea of restorative justice, a respect level, a connection, you know, maybe, right? Maybe we should be having that discussion. Is that the solution, though, to the issue that we're talking about, the mass shooter, this horrific violence that seems to be plaguing our schools and our society? This is where I think that's a different conversation, not at all related to school shootings. L.A. Tom, thank you for your call. CJ, thanks for your call. Thank both of you for calling back. Johnny, I'm telling you what, we keep, you know, mixing it up here. Busted Shop Pencils, up, fully leaded education talk. If you want more, come on back next week. See you later.
BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!